Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the main streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm coming to you from 317 Gimmick Street, right here in Marina Del Rey, California. It is a bright, sunshiny day as I record the opening of this podcast. I am joined with Callie, my black lab, and Moolah, the silver lab. They're over here laying around while I lay down is open. And I'm about to jump into a can of whoop-ass, part two of my conversation with one of my favorite WWE superstars, WWE superstar and former Raw Women's Champion, Bayley. We're going to pick things up with Bayley's thoughts on where her career is right now with WWE and what she thinks needs to happen moving forward, shooting the breeze. She and I are also going to break down and watch one of the best matches I've seen her have and one of my favorite matches of the last several years. I love this match. It's the match between Bayley and Sasha Banks, the legit boss from NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. We're going to go through all the action in the ring, watch it together on my computer screen, and then Bayley will take us through what happened after the match ended. And she and Sasha walk back through that curtain, and we're going to find out what else Bayley has planned for future. I enjoyed talking to her. Great conversation last week. I think you're going to dig it as we watch her do work inside the 20 by 20 squared circle with the legit boss, Sasha Banks. Hey, man, as far as I'm concerned, like I said, happy 4th of July. Hey, man, it's 4th of July, and since it is, that means tonight we'll be having the TVs turned up real loud so our dogs don't freak out. Moolah doesn't like loud noises. Callie doesn't really like loud noises. She's still a puppy. Hershey's 14 years old. She can't hear a damn thing just like me. She ain't worried about the fireworks. But I'll tell you what, I'm not a firecracker person. Back in the day when I was a kid, yeah. These days, not so much. Since it's 4th of July, we're going to keep a low profile. I'm on my diet, getting ready for the Broken Skull Challenge, the toughest, baddest, coolest show on television. We're going to start filming in about 3 weeks. So I am just going to be maintaining my diet, staying on my weightlifting program, and going down that road. Everything has been going good. Still doing the keto thing and getting some good results. Hopefully, I may have a four-pack by the time we go to camera. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Same Stone Cold channel, same Stone Cold time. Anyway, back to the 4th of July. We're going to lay low on the 4th of July, but on the 5th of July, we're going to jump in our SUV. We have got some dog sitters to stay here with the dogs. This is going to be a first time for us, and we're going to take a trip over in Nevada to see my wife's brother. And we're going to spend a little time up there stomping around, getting on some buggies and riding around out there in the woods and the mountains and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to getting out of the concrete jungle that is Los Angeles. This is a good city. It's a great city, great weather and all that stuff. But I'm ready to get up and get out of here for just a little bit and go out there and get in the mountains and climb around. Put that Kawasaki mule in four-wheel drive and just do some riding around and letting our hair down and relaxing. Since we're taking a road trip, I figured, man, I better get in the SUV and get the oil change. Went down to the oil change place, got in line. It was about two deep. Finally pulled in. You know, you pull in over the bay. The guy's underneath there taking off all the stuff to drain the oil out. We put the oil in, some kind of fancy high-dollar oil that goes in a Range Rover. It's a lease vehicle. I didn't buy it. Hell, all of a sudden, it comes time to reset the computer. Well, they don't know how to reset the computer at the gimmick oil change place. It takes 15 minutes. It actually took me an hour. So I'm sitting there with my thumb up my keister trying to get these guys to figure out the computer to reset my gadgets so I can get the hell out of there and then go get my car detailed so we're not riding in Nevada in a dirty automobile. Finally, the 15-minute oil change took about an hour and 15 minutes. I finally pulled out of there, had a damn near burn rubber taking a corner, turned it up on two wheels, proceeded to the next corner, took a right, and ended up at a car wash. Holy smokes, the car wash is backed up because guess what? Everybody out there got the same plan I got. Get your vehicle all clean and washed up so when you show up at your relative's place, it's all nice and shiny and ain't dirty like a piece of trash. I tell you what, it took me about an hour and a half to get the dang car washed. And I was sitting there, I didn't have my cap on, out in the sun. I could have stayed in there in the shade underneath the little awning like everybody else, playing on the iPhones, emailing people, texting people, and playing video games. But no, I got to play the Lone Wolf McQuade thing and go out there in the corner of the parking lot, stand by the road, and just stand in the sun because I don't want to hang around everybody. So I'm standing there in the sun, and the UVA and the UVB rays are beating the hell out of me. I ain't got no sunblock on. Hell, I damn near got sunburned sitting in the sun waiting on my damn car to get detailed. All because I wanted my wife to show up to her brother's place with a nice, shiny automobile. Yeah, don't give a rat's ass to me if a car's clean, car's dirty. If it's got four wheels, oil is level, got a full tank of gas, you good to go. But my wife likes a clean automobile, so I thought I'd score a couple of points and go get the SUV cleaned up, and that's what I did. But holy smokes, between getting the oil changed and getting the damn car washed, took up a whole day. Other than my conversation today with Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestler, Marty Scurll, the villain, came by the crib today. God dang, it was good talking with Marty Scurll. He will be on next Tuesday's show. I got a chance to go down to New Japan Pro Wrestling this past weekend in Long Beach. And, man, I tell you what, that was a good night of action in the ring. My two favorite matches of the night were Juice Robinson versus Zack Sabre Jr. Lots of technical stuff in there from Zack. Good fire from Juice Robinson. Sold like hell. Told a great story. Just a really good match. The crowd was on fire. Good hot crowd. And then my other favorite match was Cody Rhodes versus Okada. And I tell you what, man, that was a damn good match. And there's a point in the match where Cody applies a leg lock onto Okada. What is it called? A calf slicer, calf breaker, calf killer? I don't know. It was a leg hold. Holy smokes. When Cody hit that leg hold on Okada, break out to Shakespearean theater, because he went to selling like an absolute master. And when he started selling, that's when that crowd started building and coming for that match. And from there on into, you know, as the match built up into the finishing sequence, it just gained momentum. Really a good performance, really a great performance by both guys. So it was an awesome match, and it was a good card. And I got to see a lot of guys doing work. I wasn't in the building. I was in the building for a little bit, and then I went back to the production truck and hung out with the Axis TV crew there in the production truck with my stunt double from Vancouver, Paul Lazenby, and listened to my good buddy, Jumpin' Jim Ross, and my other friend, Josh Barnett, call the ringside action. So it was pretty awesome sitting in the truck in the air conditioning and watch this pro wrestling happen, watching some of the stories, watching the Kenny Omega come down during the Cody Rhodes and Okada match to return the favor with the white towel, maybe throwing it in the ring. So it was nice when Okada Omega were working that 60-minute draw. Cody came down there and wanted to throw that towel in on behalf of Kenny. And then Kenny came down there to return the favor. Brandy, Cody's wife, was there. She was involved ringside. It just really added another dimension, another element to the match, which was a damn good match to begin with. So anyway, a fun night at the office and a fun night to go watch some wrestling. And I tell you what, for a guy who don't get out much, which is me, because I don't like to get out, it was a good night out. I Ubered down there. And then my stunt double, Paul Lazenby, brought me back to the house. Don Callis rode back with us. By the time we got from Long Beach to 316 Gimmick Street, we had rebooked the United States territory. I was the world champion. I think I was also the Intercontinental champion, and I might have been one half of the World Tag Team Championship. So we rebooked the territory. I was on top. Everything's good. It was good seeing Don Callis. I think he's coming up next Thursday on the podcast, or this Thursday on the podcast. Marty Scurll is next Tuesday. Let's jump into my conversation with Bailey right after I take care of one of the sponsors who do this podcast for you twice a week for free, and that is Geico. I know everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea for you. Let's add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to do you do today.
My name is Raven, professional wrestling superstar, raconteur extraordinaire, and other adjectives. Or is it adverbs? Anyway, join me and a motley assortment of friends, enemies, ne'er-do-wells, and know-nothings as we banter about all kinds of nonsense every Monday here at the Jericho Network on Podcast One. Download and listen to the show on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts. Quote to Raven, nevermore.
The Steve Austin Show. The Steve Austin Show.
All right, here we go again. Sitting here talking with Bailey. You had a weird spot in your career?
Yes.
How so?
It's hard to explain. I think I guess it's time to evolve, because I've been doing what I've been doing for the past 4 years, but you always need to evolve, and I plan on doing this for a really long time, so I know it needs to go just like different directions and maybe a different attitude. I guess I'm coming off of my Extreme Rules match with Alexa Bliss, where I didn't use the kendo stick on her. So, and it's time for me to evolve and kind of see where else, different avenues that I can go as my character, and just try to reach different points and different, take that next step as Bailey. I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm in between that right now. Still trying to stay who I was and what got me to the dance. That's what I was
always
told.
What makes you feel that way at this time? Is it an internal feeling based on crowd response? Is it you feel like, hey, man, I've been doing this a while. You know, it's kind of feeling a little monotonous. I need to change something up.
It might be a little bit of both, just from the, like crowd response. But I also don't want to... I don't want to completely change who I am just because certain people may not like who I am.
But at the end of the day, you always have to be who and what you are.
Yeah.
But if you go back to, and I'll make a case where I was where you're at now maybe for myself, but when you look at someone like The Undertaker, who lasted 20-some-odd years in the WWE on top, and he came in as The Undertaker, were you old enough to remember when he first came out?
I know. Well, I wasn't
watching. Like, what was
it,
Survivor Series or something like that?
Yeah.
His first incarnation of The Undertaker. I mean, I was in my 20s, if not my 30s, whatever. I was a big fan.
Yep.
I worked with Mark in the USWA. He had been in the business about a year and a half longer than me. I was green. We crossed paths in USWA about a year in the business. He was 2 years. He went to WCW. He always had this great look. And back before they put the Undertaker gimmick on him, did you see him back then?
Yeah.
As mean Mark Callis or whatever it was.
Yep.
I mean, God dang, he just had those eyes and that presence, and he's 6'10". Athletic ability, just like crazy. Walked the ropes. You just knew this guy was going to be a star.
Yeah.
He just needed a gimmick. All of a sudden, you know, Vince takes him up there when WCW didn't really know what to do with him. They went to Skyscrapers, Dan Spivey, the other guy too. But he goes into WWF, and as the Undertaker, holy smokes, I'll never forget. I love the way when you go out and the kids, like you said, you're a big part of your demographic of that pie. The kids just love you.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, when Undertaker made that debut, the kids, it was like he pretty much squashed somebody. And I can't remember. I mean, like the kids' eyes in the crowd, and they kept showing a couple of kids, go back and watch this on YouTube, his debut. And their eyes are like saucers because they're just like horrified.
Yeah.
That's how scary he was. But anyway, it's just an awesome gimmick, and nobody could have pulled that gimmick off like Mark did.
Right.
So anyway, but through the years where when he started feeling stale, and this is not from me talking to him, but from what I gathered, to go from that into he's still the Undertaker, but a little bit American badass.
Yeah.
And then kind of back that Undertaker thing. And then that final thing, man, shoot, who's that? Who did he just beat and put and fold up his clothes?
Roman?
Roman beat him, and he took all his gear, his gloves and everything, folded everything off. But anyway, the way he would kind of ebb and flow with what he felt he needed to do, I think, to keep fresh, to put myself kind of in a spot where you were at, it was WrestleMania 17. You know, I was kind of, you know, I was white hot still. Mm-hmm. Rock was really hot at the time, but we were still neck and neck. Merch sales were still in my favor. It's just the way it was. You got to put that
it's
out
all
there.
All that matters.
But on a personal level, I was feeling a little flat.
Yeah.
And so sirens in the background. We're on the main streets of Los Angeles, California. Bailey and I talking here at 316 Gimmick Street. I started feeling a little flat.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you know, Vince always likes to do something big at WrestleMania. And so we didn't have anything really planned. So I said, man, what about me turning heel? God dang, Steve, I don't know. Well, I talked him into it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just tell a story again because I've told it a million times, but I was starting to feel a little flat. I always loved being a heel. You know, I was a white meat baby face when I first broke in Dallas. And when I was those first few months in the business, the heels would come to the territory on a Friday night for the, you know, the just a house show in the Sportatorium, or the Saturday morning television taping. I'd go out there as Chris Adams' protege, and those heels that were from the USWA territory from Tennessee would come through there, and they'd beat the trash out of me with kendo sticks, weightlifting belts. I mean, to get heat on them and just to beat me up. And you talk about laying their stuff in. Holy smokes, I was bruised and battered. Of course, I loved it.
Yeah, of course.
And it wasn't really getting me over, really getting me any sympathy, because I didn't have a character. Nobody knew. I was a J-Brone from a school.
Yeah.
So anyway, but, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
And so I just, after those first few months of working as a baby, Chris had the good idea to bring me back to Tennessee, where Jerry Jarrett said, we're going to send you back to Dallas and turn heel against your trainer, your mentor, Chris Adams. So I went back as this cocky guy who 4 or 5 months in the business had taken over the wrestling world. This is him. But in my mind, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
As you know, when you're 500, 600 months in the business, you think you're good, but you ain't.
Yeah.
But I was full of confidence, and I thought it was actually good. And so I was rushing stuff. My thing, my offense wasn't as crisp as it needed to be, but it was an effective heel turn. And I felt comfort working as a heel, because coming up out of South Texas, I was into all of the athletic endeavors that I could get into, and that's where I got my confidence, or I felt I belonged, because I was a shy kid for some reason. So working in that heel mode felt good to me, like to just make people hate you.
Yeah.
You know? I like people to like me outside of the ring, but inside the ring, I wanted to be a heel. Ended up coming finally to the WWF as a ringmaster, turning Stone Cold, and then that switch with Brett, and then it was the babyface thing. But finally, after doing the babyface thing for long enough, I thought, hey, man, let's just change heel to mix it up. And so I felt that's what I needed to do, was just switch heel. And I thought, because I was so over as a babyface, it would be gangbusters as a heel. Not so much, because it wasn't organic. It wasn't time. People didn't want to hate me. So I rushed it. It was my idea. Vince agreed to it. Like I said a million times, if I could go back to 17 and Astrodome and take it back, when I shook Vince's hand, I would have told him, looked him right in the eyes and said, watch a stunner.
Yeah.
Bam, lit his ass up. So like right now, man, I was just sitting there watching. We're all over the place here, and didn't mean to talk about me. But I've been, you know, kind of where you're at when you feel those certain ways. Sometimes it's you'll always be you, and you should, but just different levels of intensity, just letting things go. Well, what do you think? Does that register with you?
Yeah, and I don't know if as you were talking, is like, I don't know if it's even just a change of look, like how we were saying Undertaker just came out as the American Badass, completely different from what he was doing. It's not necessarily turning from a good guy to a bad guy or anything, but even if it was as simple as taking my ponytail out and just having hair down, or cutting my hair, or having different gear, just something a little different, I think I need, that's just change my look, just to evolve a little bit and maybe change a little bit of things in the ring, or just kind of more. Okay, so like this is gonna sound like I'm a loser too. So one time I was talking to Seth about, because it was from when he was a heel for a long time, then he turned baby, and I was watching his matches. I think it was when I just got on the road, and I was watching his matches, and he was just so good at being a baby face already, and he had just been a heel. And I asked him, how did you, I know you've been doing it for a while already, but how did you just make it seem so easy, the switch and the transition, because it's so different? And he was like, I just try to be like Stone Cold. Like he just, I don't know, just be a badass, just kick ass. I think that's, I need a little bit of that in the ring. And we've talked about that too, about being aggressive. So I don't know, maybe a combination of aggression, more aggression, and changing my look a little bit could be cool. That's just kind of how I'm feeling.
What's the channels for that and the structure of the system that is today, like as far as creative? you know, I remember talking with Kevin Dunn. I mean, Disturbed came out with a version of my music. When I turned heel, mm-hmm. they wanted to change it
that
from the classic
so cool.
music. Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, but it was a lot of times, you know, as far as music wise, and I'm not suggesting you do that, but for me, it was a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
Kevin Dunn, he always kind of kept me. Sometimes talent has a way of going down a road that they don't need to go down. Sometimes they can. Sometimes they can lead you to a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Dunn always kept me pretty grounded in that music vein. One time as a heel, I was figuring, hey, man, I'm a heel. I'll grow this damn goatee out. Started growing it out, and it really looked like crap. And KD comes up to me and goes, Steve, what are you doing with the goatee? I said, man, I'm just kind of experimenting with this. I said, what's up? He goes, it doesn't look good. I said, you think I should cut it? He goes, yeah, I think you should. And he was right. It looked like crap.
Yeah.
I forgot where I was going with that. So then who would you – is Paul, is Triple H the guy you – that you'd have a relationship with on the business front with creative and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if Hunter's really like the one to go to for WWE. Obviously, NXT, that was his baby, so he ran it all. But I've had conversations with him while being here, and it's kind of more out of his – it's not so much in his hands up with WWE. So I guess I would have to go to my writers or go to Vince. And I also – I mean, I actually feel like I have – I feel comfortable talking with Vince, which seems so crazy for me to say. Well, like for me, because I've been a fan, like been watching him forever, and I'm like, yeah, I'm comfortable to talk to Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
I
feel you.
Yeah, but I mean, if it was something I felt really strongly about that I had a perfect idea, I want to have the you know, direction. I want ideas. I want kind of. I'm not going to go in there and just be like, hey, I feel weird. Maybe I should change a little bit. I want to have, you know, exactly the idea of what I want to present to him. And that's I'd probably just go to Vince, because that's the only way to go if it's something like that, like, so
no know. It's an important decision,
yeah,
to mull over and then act upon.
Yeah,
but it's interesting though, because as long as you have been watching the product or WWF and then E, yeah, all of a sudden you're sitting there talking to the guy that, you know, his father created WWF, but he turned it into the WWE and took over the wrestling world. So all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'm just sitting there talking with Vince about my gimmick.
He has
an interesting way about him, because he's a third generation promoter and he's so smart, and he's dealt with some of the brightest, coolest individuals in the history of the business, from promoters to guys, the guys and girls in the ring, to managers and everybody. And so he has, you will be hard pressed to beat Vince McMahon in a game of psychology.
Yeah.
And so he's heard it all from some of the guys in the business, the coolest guys in the world. Some of them are the biggest nutcases in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I've been somewhere in the middle. I've been a little bit of both at different times in my career in dealing with Vince. But he isn't. When you go to talk with him, you do need to have your thoughts well planned out, mm-hmm, to be able to present to him.
Yeah. So, like, for you, and I talked to Hunter about this too. Just if I were to ask him something, he's like, "You're better off asking Vince." And he said, "You need to have that relationship with him, anyways. It's good to have a relationship with him." I was like, "Okay." So I went. I've talked to him a few times where I'm like, "Now I feel fine to." And he's still intimidating as hell when he walks by, and you want to make sure you're on your best behavior. But I feel comfortable enough. So for someone that, for you at the top of the business for a long time, like, you're probably pretty cool with just, hey, Vince, and laughing with him and being able to talk with him like every week. Huh? Like, I don't talk to him every week.
But I had to work at that, because I'll never forget, man. It was going up and to. When they brought me up as ringmaster and I came up with a Stone Cold gimmick, you know, they brought me as a mechanic, basically.
Yeah.
And they had recruited me two times before that. I knew they didn't really have anything for me, which is cool. I just decided I'd stand down there in WCW. I tore my tricep, went to ECW, finally get the call. Well, this time, you know, in ECW one day a week, you know, with the mortgage payment, the wife and the kid, you need a little bit more money.
Yeah.
So go ahead and sign with the WWF. Came in as ringmaster, and I'll never forget, I got that phone call from Vince. He goes, "How you doing, pal? Got the great gimmick I want to tell you about." The ringmaster presented it to me. I said, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, this is horrible. But yeah. I told him, sounds great. I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I started. And so when that first year and a half, whatever it was, I didn't know Vince at all. I knew he was my boss. Mm-hmm. I knew, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you. But one day I was walking across the parking lot, and it was either Worcester or Lowell, Mass., something like that. That was after the big Madison Square Garden thing, mm-hmm. where, you know, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash went south. Sean and Triple H, those guys stayed up here. And that's where, you know, I was going to get the word that I was going to win King of the Ring.
Yeah.
96. I wasn't really supposed to win King of the Ring 96, but I was plan B or C or D or whatever.
Yeah.
And he decided they was going to drop that thing on me. And I walk across that parking lot. I hear a voice behind me. He goes, Steve, you got a second? I turn around. It's Vince. Said, yes, sir. Just want to let you know, in 2 weeks, you're winning King of the Ring. I no-sold it. I said, all right, thanks. Kept walking into the building. 2 weeks later, I went King of the Ring, and it turned out to be, you know, a hell of a thing. But that was the start of my relationship with Vince. And then, you know, I'll never forget, we was in a Jeep Grand Cherokee fixing to a gig. I think it was right prior to throwing the belt off the bridge. And it was just me and Vince. And we're sitting. I'm riding shotgun. He's driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And we're at a gate that's locked closed. There's no one there to unlock the gate so that we can go through it and go do the gig.
Uh-huh.
So it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's the Mac Daddy. It's Vince.
Yeah.
And I'm just a guy. I'm getting kind of hot, you know, like in the business. But I've only been in the business like 7.5 years.
Yeah.
So it's not like I just have all of this wherewithal, and me and Vince are buddies, and we're just shooting the breeze about the territory. It's awkward.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting there, and he says something to me, and it's really awkward. And so he just floors it, and we run through the gate and break the lock off the gate, and then we go do the gig. But then once I got hot, and then, you know, as you know, the more involved you are in the process, the more figured you are, that relationship, whether, you know, it's Triple H running NXT or Vince running WWE, just the more you're figured, that relationship gets closer because you're dealing with that person so often. But, yeah, it wasn't easy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Then I don't know. Like, I always feel, should I be more comfortable already? I don't know. Even like you saying that he's the one who called you and said, like, that's so different. And that's crazy to me that Vince is the one who called you and said, yeah, we're going to bring you in. Like, now it's, you know, a million notches down and other thousands of other people that are working to hire
the
you or whatever.
The business has changed so much.
So crazy.
And there's so many different levels. But back then, and you know, back then you wanted the promoters to call you rather than you calling them back in the day, because that means you needed a job.
Yeah.
Hey, I needed a job.
Yeah.
I was just hoping that they would reach out to me. And I got lucky they did. But I had a lot of guys, you know, I think Kevin Nash was, you know, in his ear. Jim Ross was in his ear. You know, I think Paulie was in his ear. There were a lot of guys, you know, when they first looked at me, if you just put me against the wall with everybody else, I'm not going to jump off the page at you back then with long, scraggly hair. Even with a goatee and a bald head, I still ain't going to jump off the page. But on the just a litmus test of looking at people, I wasn't really the guy.
Yeah.
So it was a long thing in progress. Okay, let's get back to you. But before we do, I have to show a little appreciation for another longtime sponsor of the Steve Austin Show, TrueCar and the TrueCar app. TrueCar gives you price and information you need to feel confident about your vehicle purchase. When you register with TrueCar, you'll see what other people in your local area paid for the car you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by TrueCar certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. And you'll also see all the dealer incentives before you get to the lots, so you can feel confident about the price when you show up. TrueCar makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or used vehicle. And the stats don't lie. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 dealers in that network, with some 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available. So do yourself a favor and go to TrueCar for your next car buying experience. TrueCar doesn't just make the process easier, it'll also save you some money. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Hey, it's Shaq, and when the NBA offseason explodes like it just did, you know we're all over it on The Big Podcast with Shaq. All summer, we're bringing you the biggest guests from the NBA, the biggest stars in Hollywood, and tons of great laughs. We're way bigger than a sports podcast, so check us out this week, The Big Podcast with Shaq, with new episodes every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
Do you have any desire to turn heel if it comes organically? Because I was watching Raw a while back. It was a week or two ago. You did an interview with Corey Graves.
Yeah.
You said you didn't want to, you know, hurt people or inflict bruises upon people to climb your way back into that title shot. And I was like, man, how can you say that? That's what it's going to take to get that shot.
Yeah.
Tell me about this mean streak or lack thereof.
So maybe that's the weird part or the awkward stage that I was talking about earlier. That was one of those things where I had to go talk to Vince. Just when I found out what I was going to be doing for that interview, I was like, okay, let me figure out how exactly I should be going about this or how, I don't know. That's one of the things that I talked to Vince about, which I was happy I did. But it was kind of, it's kind of just answer, be yourself. And I kind of felt like maybe that's an interview that it's a step back because I'm saying that I didn't want to hurt her, but I'll do whatever it takes to get back in the title picture. So I felt like it was a step back and I'm kind of starting all over again where I was the champion and then I had my rematch and I was right there up in the main spot for the women's division on Raw. And now since I lost to Alexa, I'm kind of starting back over again where I'm in line with everybody else, which I'm fine with. I really like, you know, the chase and working for it. And honestly, I just want to have, like, I just want to wrestle. Like, I don't need to be in these crazy gimmick matches or always be working for the championship. Of course, I want to be the champion because that means you're the best. But I just love wrestling. And if I can have good matches week in and week out, like, that would make me happy.
Yeah, you don't always have to be the champion, nor should you. Nor did I want to be the champion all the time as Stone Cold. And a lot of times people on the outside think, oh, yeah, they want you to be the champion. It ain't about that.
Yeah.
But what it is about is if you're not in that, you know, you're always fighting for the championship, you know, match. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're figured, all of a sudden, if you're trying to climb your way back in and then so-and-so tries to blindside you to, you know, get you out of the title shot, well, then you've got a personal issue.
Right.
So you can go get sidetracked in an angle. So as long as you're in an angle that matters, that people can sink their teeth into, you're in a good place.
Yes.
And you can get personal, and it can get as nasty as it gets. You bring out your emotions and your intensity, and y'all tangle, and you work your angle.
Yeah.
And back to your point, you're happy because you're wrestling, but you're wrestling for something that matters.
Yeah, that's how I think about it, too. As long as if I wasn't on TV for weeks, then I'd be worried, like, okay,
yes,
I'm really screwed right now. Like, I need to do something to fix this and get back on TV. But since I'm still on and still a part of the division, I guess, whatever we're doing, that's kind of how I pictured my first thing with Sasha would go, is not even nothing to do with the title because we have so much history. And I just think it would be better if it started out personal. And even if hopefully we get to work together a bunch of times, but and it would be for the title someday, but I wouldn't even mind if it started out where it wasn't about the title because I just want to have the thing that caught people's attention, I think, with NXT for the women was just putting on matches. It wasn't always about the championship. For a while, it was Paige and Emma, and then there were like Sasha, Charlotte, myself, and it was just like the lower card, you know, having matches, and people were just liked watching it. And that's kind of what I feel like we need to get back to, is just having good matches and not always having to be in the title picture. Let them, it's a cycle. Let everyone run through their time. And like I said, if I'm just wrestling and being able to do this, then I'll be happy.
How do you feel like when, I think John Cena, because of the babyface status that he has, for a couple of years now, I don't think now because I think John's doing other things, but he's still wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Never do a heel turn.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, so many kids look up to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much people love him, in my opinion. So you, as Bailey, kids love you. They look up to you, or they look right there in your eyes.
Yeah.
You're a hugger. If you turned heel, what would that do?
I don't know. Breaks my heart even thinking about it. And so when I do have these ideas, like, I write everything down, all my ideas, just in case, you know, something happens where they want, like, okay, we're going to do this. And I have ideas for that. But even just thinking about that, and there's one day where I was really like, all right, I'm going to pitch this. I'm going to do it. Like, I want to be a heel. And then I went out that night for our match, and there was just like, I saw maybe like five or six girls dressed up like me, and we had met girls before the shows that were in tears just meeting us. And I was like, okay, no, I can't do it. I can't like turn my back on them. What, I don't know what would happen. If for me, that was Lita. Like she was the one that, like when you beat her up with a chair, I felt like you just beat up like my mom or something. Yeah. Like, you know, it was like, you feel everything that they go through. So if she were ever to turn her back, I would be like, no, wait, why would you, like you slapped me in the face. Why would you do that?
I believed in you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, so much. And then you're going to just be like everybody else. Like, why did you have to do that? So I don't know. I don't know.
But here's the thing along those lines, and you don't necessarily have to turn heel. I just turned a match on. You recognize this?
I know what this is. Yes.
What is it?
My match with Sasha at Brooklyn.
Takeover. Yep. This is an awesome match.
Yeah.
Your intensity is off the charts in this match from the get-go, and this entrance is great. You got a great response. Sasha, the legit boss, is about to come out in the Cadillac Escalade with like a entourage, bodyguards.
Yep.
Escort her to the ring, pick her up, put her on an apron, and they ring the bell. We'll watch the match. But your intensity, look at that guy was about to start crying when you hugged him.
Crazy. I'm so nervous right now.
What are you thinking here?
I'm so nervous. This is the biggest crowd I've ever been in front of at this point. So I was like freaking out and I didn't really know what to do. My boyfriend at the time and my mom and everybody were front. My brother was front row. So I was like, don't look at them or you're going to cry. Just play it cool.
Emotional.
Yeah. But this is like the most... See, my brother's right there. Oh, okay. My mom's jumping up and down.
Yeah.
This is, and even the referee, Danilo. Hi, Danilo. He's, myself, Sasha, and him are so close. So it was really cool for all three of us to have that together. Everything about it. And I knew Sasha was about to come out. I was like, okay, don't cry. I'm wearing my dusty dots.
So you got a great response here. So what are you thinking? You confident?
Yeah, here I was confident. With Sasha, I always am. And I was so into this story, and I knew how much it meant to NXT at this point, because this was the biggest show NXT has done here. Like, this is the first time we stepped out of Full Sail for a takeover. So I knew how much pressure was on us, but I was kind of like thriving off that. We needed it to be good or else,
yes,
like, you know, it could have gone downhill.
You can't crap the bed on this outing. You got to knock it out of the park, and y'all are about to. Here comes Sasha. She got the sunglasses on with the vents.
I'm going to take a picture.
That
of
is such an awesome package. She got the belt on it. She does that little sway thing right there. I love her as a heel. I love her as a baby too, but I really love her as a heel.
She's
just a natural, cocky. She has that mean streak that I always speak of.
Yep.
And on the fire part of that I always say that the baby faces have, which is what you're about to exemplify.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just a great match.
Yeah.
This is a great entrance. And she has a mean streak and you have fire.
She just, you know, you have to really believe in yourself and in that character. And I think she's like one of the best that does it. She's really the boss,
so
you know?
Yeah.
She's the sweetest person in the back and everything, but once she gets out there, like, she's been fighting for this since she was a kid, so she's there, you know? That's her in that moment.
That's a good little face down, good stare down right there. She's just like, really?
I haven't watched this match in a long time.
Like,
afterwards, I watched it a bunch.
It's a great match. I think it's probably this. I haven't been on the road and seen all of your other stuff, but it's probably your best match ever.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you tell me.
Yeah. No, right now, it's my best match ever.
I love it.
I mean, hopefully one day we can top it, but this, this is definitely my best. And like, you know, it was so special to us. So we wanted to have a good match, but like, we didn't know that everybody was going to respond to it the way that they did. The crowd, especially in Brooklyn, I was kind of worried that I was going to get booed, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like half and half.
Yeah,
Or they were for both of us. I can't really tell.
The way she does that thing when she just kind of does that little slide.
Yeah.
After her little hip swivel. It's just great.
Yeah, she's all right,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, so what are you thinking here? You have this. You're just kind of that. You're going over here.
Yeah.
You're about to win the championship. Yeah. But you're playing it on the DL.
Right.
Underdog. Not an underdog because she's a champion, but y'all are equally matched physicality.
Yeah. The main thing for me, too, is this was going to be her last NXT match. So it was very emotional. Like, that Iron Man match really was added last, like, after this. So that's kind of like, I was emotional about that. Like, okay, I don't know when the next time I'm going to be able to wrestle her.
Right.
And she's my favorite, so I got to make this, you know, good. I hyperventilate a lot, I think, because I get so nervous and I'm just like breathing really hard that I get lightheaded. So I'm also trying to just like breathe and stay calm.
Okay, now she's just looking at you and laughing at you like, really? So you leg diver, you're on top, throwing fists. Now she's back on top, throwing fists, switcheroo. Now here you are back on top, physicality. She gets you off. Boom. Go to the back. Offense. Nice. See, I like the quick start there. They didn't want to see y'all to go scientific style. She was laughing at you. You took her down. Boom. Okay, yeah. Here we go. We're off.
Yeah. And they did like such a good job with the promo packages before and everything, where that already told our story, right. So we can just get right into it, which is helpful. They always do like a really good job.
Explain to me about these headbutts into the turnbuckle. Because Sasha's throwing your forehead in the turnbuckle, but what's this deal with your hard head?
I got a head of steel. No, this is just like one of those Hulk moments where okay. It's just like, nothing's going to faze me. Like, you ain't going to hurt me.
Right. Okay, you got her upside down in the turnbuckle.
This is the first time I ever tried this, and I'm surprised that it came off like
bam, off
pretty
the second,
well.
First or second rope?
That was the first rope.
First rope, yeah. But elbow right onto her throat, kick out.
I've tried to do that with Charlotte recently, and the rope was like loose, so I went nowhere, and it was terrible, so now I'm scared to do it again.
You ever get in there, either the ropes are bad, or someone's been wearing too much baby oil,
oh, yeah.
And you slip off, it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
That or, just happened?
Or the guys, they sweat so much, so the mat's super slippery, and you just fall everywhere.
We were at the Royal Rumble in San Diego a long time ago. I've told this story before, but I was going to be like the fourth last guy in there.
Uh-huh.
And one of the Samoans, you know, clotheslines me over the top with some salt and pepper on it, uh-huh. Like you should have. But the rope had so much baby oil on it, I hooked it, and zip, zip, man, I'm on the ground. And San Diego sports arena thinking, really? Dude, you just got here. If you're going to be in the top four, that's a pretty good push.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of just give Sean the look because he's the guy. You
yeah.
Know, give him the gimmick look like, dude, I just got eliminated. You have to call this stuff on the fly. It's pay-per-view. I walked to the back, you know, with my damn tail between my legs. It's the worst feeling in the world. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Here you are. You're on offense. Now, here's a mean streak. From you. She ticked you off. Here you come. Go get in the ring. She catches with a knee in the midsection. But see, you got that vital language. That's that intensity. You got that mean streak. You can mm-hmm. have that as a baby. You're fixing to show plenty of fire here when she gets the heat on you. All right. She's got your position here. Up. Oh, you're able to move. This is a nice sequence in the match.
Thanks.
And I like the way you guys are laying all your forearms in.
Yeah.
And coming up here, because you're right-handed, correct?
Yeah.
And I like how when we get into the main part of the heat, she's going to take that bandage off your right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to throw a right flipper. You throw one, but because your hand is so hurt, you start using your left.
Yeah.
A lot of logic. It all makes sense. That was a nice bump. Watch that again. Okay, so you're outside in. You're on the second rope of the turnbuckle. Like she's going to do a suplex off the second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now she's down in the ring. Boom, kicks your leg out. Nice bump off the apron.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Thanks. Oh, so nerve-wracking.
Look at her. The boss in charge.
Yep.
You're in sell mode here. Great job of selling. That's nice. Protected yourself just the way you needed to.
And she goes and
of course she's gonna
makes fun of me.
There you go. Roll
that.
Back in. Hey, enough of that. Okay, yeah. She's going to beat you back down. Nice job of selling here. Going to the back of the neck. Sasha working on Bailey. Hits the ropes. Same back elbow that you gave her earlier.
She's doing my own stuff.
Hello, she does the spin around, celebrates, and slaps the hell out of her. Okay, I didn't see that cover. Are your eyes open or closed on those covers?
Mine are always closed.
Thank you.
Yeah. So does that bother you when people have their eyes open?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm eyes closed. I'm just going on the cadence of that damn referee.
Yeah.
Don't change the cadence because I'm going off the sound.
Right. Yeah, I always have my eyes closed.
If a guy has them open, don't look at the referee.
Yeah.
That's my rule. But I'm an eyes closed guy.
Yeah, so, same. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, if you look at the ref, I feel like it's a dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm looking to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, if you're in a position of getting your tank drained or you don't know what's going on or it's a potential pin, I think you shouldn't be there visually.
Yep.
All right, she's got a good hold on you at this point. Yeah. Y'all know that you already have the crowd, right?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I was really in the moment. I knew we were like, we were all
like
there together. Yeah.
You had a nice bump off to the bottom, come back in, everything's going well.
Yeah.
And that's nice and tight. That looks good.
Yeah.
Here they come. Those two of the people here. I don't think I've ever worked in Brooklyn.
Oh, they're so fun.
She throws you back down to the turnbuckle. You're
settling. This is
like
one of my favorite parts.
That reverse mule kick is just perfect. What a heel.
Exactly. Like so subtle. And she's like not even, it's so good. I love it.
Nicely done, Sasha. Okay, she's picking you up here. Throws you back in. Block. Okay, a little bit of comeback here. A little bit of fire. Hey, man, that's enough of that. Firing a couple of forearms. Okay, tell me about this here. She's got you there because you guys fixed to work into that top spot, aren't you?
Her double knees.
Oh, this is your catcher.
This is one of those things I get mad at
myself.
There you
go. Just because you could have hit it with a little bit more momentum?
I should have just gone straight for the second. And I look like I think I was trying to go for the top buckle.
Yeah.
So it came off so weird. I was so mad.
That's something that you would notice, and it could have been with a little bit more momentum. But yeah, to your point.
Yeah.
But that's a perfectionist trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
And I love the crowd reaction for this too. When she sets me up to the top, they're like, "Oh my god!" They've never seen her do it from here.
Boom. Nice. See here, sense of urgency. Thank you, Sasha. Good kick out. Good sell. See, what I like was she's the champion. She's trying to keep the belt. She just hits you in the midsection off the top turnbuckle with her knee and immediately went for the cover.
Yeah.
Later on, down in the back end of some long matches, it's okay to slowly get there. But if there's no sense of urgency early on, midway part of the match, if you ain't trying to pin that person, crowd ain't buying in.
Right.
Because if you ain't trying to win that belt, I know the belt ain't really available.
Yeah.
So if she's trying to win a belt, that's what I like about that cover. And that happens a lot in this match.
Yeah. I had to learn that too along the way, especially in championship matches. Like off anything, I'm trying to pin you. Even if you're kicking out at half or at one, like I'm trying to pin you.
Let's take this back here because she's getting on you in the corner. You're down there and you're selling your ass off. Boom! She's just taunting you and you just plant that foot right in her face. Great job of selling by hers. You drop toe hold. She goes into the second turnbuckle. Another drop toe hold. Bam! Here you go. Lay them in. That's fire.
That's my Stone Cold right there.
That's fire.
Yeah,
that's
opened
fire.
Up a can
Got
there.
Fire. Man, that's fire just throwing her ass into the ropes. Oh, boy, I tell you what, she outsmarts you here, goes to work on her arm. I love this spot here.
Yeah, I know.
This is one of the best parts of the match.
Yeah.
She's been on top. You've been firing back. You got your offense in early. Now she puts you in this, basically, she's got your arm barred. She's sitting on your back. She starts taking off that bandage. And what did you do to injure this hand leading into this match?
I broke it in a match with somebody. And it was like, I've never broken anything. I just fractured it, got like a bone, boxer's break or something.
Yep.
And so I was still able to wrestle on the little shows with like a cast on it. And I literally had just gotten my cast off right before this.
Oh, nice bump here. Yeah. She brings you back into the ring. She throws you into the ring, stops the count. Then just says, hey, man, see you later outside. Yeah. Boom, nice ball. Nice ball. Look, grabbing a hand. That's a good sales job. Here comes the boss.
I want to point out Tyler Breeze actually helped me sell a lot. He actually helped me learn levels of selling and how to, because I would be like really dead right away.
Right.
So I learned levels from him. And this was like when I was so always asking him questions. Like I asked him a million questions about this match. He helped me so much.
This is nice. You got your arm bent back, hand bent under on the floor.
Those always scared me, and I didn't know she was going to do that, so I was really scared. But
well, that could potentially really hurt.
Yeah.
For a shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, hand between the ring and the steps, kicks the hell out of them. Oh, there you go. Oh, the crowd popped big for that. They couldn't believe it. I loved it.
That was a little painful.
If you don't feel sympathy, but look at her. She just got that. She's so sassy. She's so cocky. Look, you're total sale mode. Perfect. That hurts.
Yeah.
Good job. Referee done a great job there.
Yeah. He's the best. This scares me, too. I hate watching this.
How come?
Because I feel like she this is a nice breaks spot. Her neck.
Oh. Was that bad on her?
No, that I think I was a little far.
So Sasha's selling on the floor. The referee's been over. She comes over the top rope.
Looks like I just
what is that called?
It's
like a watermelon to me.
I don't know. She probably
knows. What you guys call it?
She has a name for it. I don't do that stuff. I'm too scared.
But anyway, so she lands on top of you. You're starting to kind of regain your composure. Bring that right hand up, and she just splashes you. Referee saying, "Hey, get the action back in the ring." There you go, back in the ring, you're selling. Now she's feeling some of that impact. That's a good job being on offense, but selling what you just did. But not too much.
Yeah.
Good cover. Deep cover with both legs hooked. Okay, see, look, what I like here, she's not in total disbelief. When people go to the Hamlet level of just, I can't believe she kicked out. It wasn't nothing big enough to go to that dramatics about kicking out, and she played it perfect. Just talking trash to you, slaps you. She's going to run a turnbuckle here and go for just a big arm drag back across the ring, but not so fast because you push her off. She takes a nice bump.
She's crazy.
Back to sell mode for you. See, double down. She's selling what just happened to her. She just took a massive bump. From the top to the bottom, you're still selling that damn right hand. She's been torching for a couple of minutes now. Referee done a good job of counting here. The referees are so important in these matches.
So important.
Sometimes people forget that. Sometimes they don't get enough respect.
Yes, and he's done these big matches with like Revival and American Alpha and all that. Like I always say he's the best.
Okay, there you are. You're throwing the right flipper, but it hurts. So going to the left by instincts because your right paw's hurt. That's
awesome.
They look
a little funky, maybe not as effective.
You're not left-handed.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to. Here's a trade-off. Good stuff. Good stuff. There you go. Digging deep. God dang, you want that belt. Throw her ass in the ropes. Here she comes. Watch us come back. Watch us come back. Laying that stuff in there. Bam. Come back up. Bam. Back down she goes. She's feeding.
God,
just a rage, yeah. Here, a little bit of character stuff. Woo!
Do you think that was a bad time to do that? Sometimes I get
It's a real judgment, fine line there. Do you go to that character-based stuff, or do you just go for it?
Yeah.
You just suplexed her back into the turnbuckle. Her ropes careened off the turnbuckle. Here you go. What are you looking for here?
I'm going to finish her.
But I think in the heat of comeback, okay, going for the belly, the Bailey to belly.
Yes.
this is nice here. Switch around. Okay, she's going to come.
Man.
Roll up, goes through. He gets a two count. Not one. Comes up. You almost got her. Like an arm DDT.
Yeah.
Boom, right to the bank statement. Hook deep right in the middle of the ring.
Ooh.
She's got you.
Yeah, this is this little sequence here is when I heard I could have cried listening to the crowd, just how crazy it was.
You know you got them.
Yeah. And then watching it back, because she was in Team Bad, so like Naomi and Tamina were out there too, and they were on their feet watching this part. It's like, dang, dude.
Okay, Bailey's going for the ropes to try to break the hole with the right hand, the hurt hand, and she stomps on the hand. This is great. She kicks you off. Boom. You come out on top. That was awesome. Let's rewind that. That was a great sequence. Did you hear the crowd?
I know.
All of a sudden, when that heel has been really pouring it on, and then she tries to kick off to regain the advantage, then she reverses, and you get the same exact hole on her. Bam. Double crowd response. She's got the right arm there. She's really going. She's trying to break that thing. This is great. Great ring awareness. So breaks good. The hole with her foot. That's awesome.
So good.
Good sell. Double down here. Both you guys have been in the finish. Good job by the referee. Crowd is exactly where you want them. You're in total sell mode. So is she. Listen to the crowd.
Yeah. I wish.
What are you thinking now?
Ugh. I think I was trying. Watching this back, I think I could have taken more time there.
I thought the same thing when I kicked Brett years ago in 13. Mm-hmm. I should have stayed down for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all could have done anything here. Okay, you go to pull her. There you go. You hit it. Ooh, oh, Bailey to belly decides to kick out on two. Good facials here. Look, you didn't go crazy. You didn't say, I can't believe I didn't beat her.
Yeah.
Frustrated, yes. Came a little bit exasperated, yes, but not overboard.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sasha selling like $1 million. Here comes that crowd. You got them.
Crazy.
You got them. And you know what? Just like you said, thank you. I mean, that's like, when you go out there, okay, here we go. Let's go home. Okay, she can't get up. She can't get up. This is awesome. Great, great, awesome action by Sasha. Okay, you're going to put her up on top turnbuckle. What you going for here?
Going for a Hurricane Rana, which came off really bad.
Man, this thing scared the hell out of me.
Me too.
Okay, you're going for it. She pushes you off. Sasha's on the top turnbuckle. Just caught a big flipper from Bailey. Bailey's climbing up. Bailey's now on the top rope. Oh, Jesus Christ. How did that feel?
That was terrible.
For a shoot. No, the bump looks amazing, but how did it feel?
It felt terrible.
Yeah, what? It looks like it felt terrible.
I'm so lucky I didn't break my collarbone or something.
Yeah.
I wasn't as athletic as I thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to, like, backflip perfectly and land on my stomach.
Yeah, sometimes things don't happen like we like them to.
Yeah.
No, it was an incredible bump, but it looked like it hurt every bit of it. Okay, Sasha's on top. She jumps with that knees down on the shoulders. This is a great pin. Almost. Look at the position here.
Yeah.
You just stayed on top of her. You're in a dead sell mode. You just took that hellacious bump. She crawls out from underneath you. Perfect sell by you. Now, she can't believe. That's a perfect level there. You got a look on her face, that grimace on her face. Hey, I'm beating your ass. And you're just dead. You're dead, and you should be.
Yeah.
Like a Sasha, just thinking about it, taking all the time in the world. Perfect timing, perfect timing. Look at the emotions. You're dead, as you should be. Perfect level. This is a great match. All right, here we go. Sasha in control, Bailey on a complete sell. Okay, she's got you facing outward on the top turnbuckle. Little elbow action. There you go. That way, Lil Man. Nice job of selling by Sasha.
Even this little part, I felt like it could have been
maybe things,
a little cleaned up or a little faster.
Well, man, this is tough. When you got both people going through this kind of match and you're climbing on the ropes, this is not the easiest thing in the world. Okay. That was scary as hell.
I know.
Tell me that. Tell me this. What is that bump called?
A reverse Rana.
Okay. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then watch. Okay, let's watch it. Bam. Was she okay on that?
Yeah, she was fine.
Okay.
I mean, there's.
Okay, watch you. bam, where you throw your hairband in the crowd. What is that?
My little wristband.
Okay, god dang. That's it. Okay, go back to it. We just backed it up. She's coming off the big reverse hurricanrana. Bam, that's good. Hey, man. Boom, belly to belly. Boom, deep hook. Grapevine the other leg. One, two, three. Congrats, champ.
Thank you.
I had to mute.
So weird.
God dang, that was awesome. Oh. So when you see that, when you see yourself in action, it's like, okay, we just got finished watching that, and you got a chance to relive it. But what you see when you kick in that mean streak, or you kick in that fire, mm-hmm. and she had that mean streak. So whether you heal a baby, as long as you're feeling that, I just think you have room to grow. And like Vince said, you ain't got to be a heel. Just be whatever you want to be. Be whatever's natural and go accordingly.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to put that salt and pepper. And, hey, man, you know, I'm going to have to show a little bit more of my mean streak, or a little bit of, hey, that other part of me. I like to hug people. I still do. This time, if I do have to bruise someone, you know, or whatever it is,
right.
you have the level, you have the range to do anything you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Close the computer.
It's there. It's there.
Damn.
I know.
I need a cold beer after watching that.
Oh, I haven't watched it in a long time. Thanks for watching, though.
When you went to the back, how'd you feel?
First of all,
from being a champion,
so,
and then from the performance and what everybody told you. Because I'm imagining you got what we call when you walk back in, and everybody had to give you a standing ovation.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like, they did like a WWE 24, so you could see it on the network and stuff. They kind of have like little shots of us when we come back. But that was, everybody was on. You know, even the main event was out there. Like, Kevin Owens gave us a hug and was like, I don't even know what we're supposed to do out there. They were about to have a ladder match, him and Finn Balor. Hunter picked us up and hugged us and was just so happy. It was like one of just like a proud papa moment.
Yeah.
And everybody back there, like all the girls were back there. And then our moms came backstage and it was just, I don't even know. I was just crying. Well, I'm mostly crying because I couldn't believe that we just did that. Like that, yeah. I could have retired the next day and I would have been fine with it, you know? That I couldn't believe that. I still can't believe that we've had that match. And I was just, that was my last time in the ring with her. And I was just like, I don't want you to go. I think I did. I think I told her, like, don't go. And then we just started crying more. But then we got to do it one more time.
Talk about what you felt when Eddie went to the ring at one time as a heel.
Yeah.
What y'all did, y'all made people feel all the emotions of this match. You know, some Sasha fans out there, but you were the babyface. A lot of Bayley fans out there, mm-hmm. and they knew that you were trying to fight for that belt, especially when she had you ground down, getting that heat, and she was just being cocky and mean and nasty, and all of a sudden, you know, you got that hold on her that she had on you, and then that momentum, like in basketball, the momentum swing, and then it was just whoever came with that finishing sequence, the way I pulled it off, the timing, the execution, all of the body language by both of you. I mean, you know, you can't get no better than that. So, you
thank
know,
you.
Awesome.
That means everything. Thanks.
Hey, so let me stop. That's real deal. I don't like to say blown smoke. That's real deal. And you know me, we've talked on the phone before. Mm-hmm. When I start talking about the business of wrestling, I get excited because I just love good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 28 right now.
Yep.
Looking to the future, short term, long term, you want to do this till the wheels fall off? What do you think?
Yeah. Well, see, I think it's weird being a woman because eventually I'd like to have kids. Like, I'm engaged right now, and I want to get married sometime next year. But I thought I'd be done wrestling at, like, when I was like, I'll be done by 30 because it's not cute after that. But then, like, hello, I'm going to be wrestling a lot longer than that. I would say I want to have kids by, like, 35 or at least one. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Seven years away?
Yeah.
7 years is a long time.
So I can do it. And who knows, like, what's going to happen in between then. But if I can wrestle till 35, like, that'd be great. And I still want to – I want to open up a school one day and – you know, Seth is doing it right now while he's work, like, still wrestling. So that's one of my main goals. I really want to open a school and be able to open it in the Bay Area. And that's like, I want to do everything in wrestling. I want to main event WrestleMania. But one of my favorite things and what I miss about NXT is just helping people that are just starting out or, you know, just learning. And that's one of my favorite things is training for wrestling. So that's something I look forward to. If I weren't able to wrestle past 35, I'd be okay with training people.
But like you said, I mean, some people think, yeah, I'll wrestle to X, you know, mm-hmm. amount of years. And then all of a sudden you kind of get close to that age. Like, hey, man, I really kind of like this. I, you know, I'm right in the middle of it. Back in the day when I was in Tennessee, the saying would be, oh, man, you get in the business, you make your money, and you get out.
Right.
Something called passion and just loving to be in the squared circle and being on the road and entertaining people and that adrenaline blast you get when that music hits you. Yeah. There and you take control of that people and take them on a ride, it's hard to get away from.
Yes. So easier said than done.
Yeah, you don't just go in there and make some money and get out. Yeah. I would have never left if I didn't have to. Well, I'd probably still be out there on a damn walker.
I was going to say, like, I didn't know that I would be, like, I expected all this to happen when I was younger, like 25, but I'm already 28 and I haven't even been, you know, on the road for a year yet. So I'm like, maybe I will have to go a little past that to do everything that I want to do. And who knows?
There's an old saying in the business, get your stuff in. It's usually an S word that ends with different than that, but it's like, so get your stuff in while you still can. You're still young and you're in good shape. How are you feeling overall? You still good?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good. I feel actually, my body feels better than when I was training at NXT every day. So that's good.
And is there anything we can talk about that you want to promote? Great Balls of Fire is coming on. Are you on that card?
I believe so.
Okay, so Great Balls of Fire is going to be on July 9th. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we're ending this. People can find you on social media at...
Yes. It's Bailey WWE on Twitter and at Instagram. It's me, Bailey.
It's me, Bailey.
Yes, that's me.
Hey, thanks for coming by the crib.
Thank you for having me. This has been amazing. I'm going to move in, if you don't mind. Hang out with your dogs.
Airbnb.
Yeah. Airbnb right next door to you, and we'll be good.
Good talking.
Cool, thank you.
All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off in the sunset. Before I do that, I'm going to give you a video to watch. My video of the week is, remember that NXT TakeOver Brooklyn match was supposed to be Sasha Banks' last match at NXT, but as Bayley said, she ended up having one more, and it's the Iron Man match against Bayley. So here's my video of the week. This is on YouTube, and obviously I'm sure it's on the WWE Network. I watched it on YouTube. Sasha Banks versus Bayley, Iron Man match. Check that match out and let me know what you think. Hey, gang, there's a new season of Broken Skull Challenge really right around the corner. We're about to start filming this thing in just a couple of weeks. That means I'm going to have a bunch of brand new badass t-shirts coming to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin. Stay tuned. If you're looking for the best IPA on planet Earth, get my Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. Pick it up at Whole Foods or Total Wines if you live in Cali. Or order it from InsideTheCellar.com if you live in a state that they ship to. I got one more thing I'm going to tell you about. I got my own page at Amazon, and that's where you can find the Cold Steel, Broken Skull Knife, and the new Working Man Knife. Just go to Amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. And thanks for supporting all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you free twice a week. And you can find all my sponsors at podcastone.com. Just click the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click the Steve Austin Show banner. On Twitter and Instagram, you can follow me at Steve Austin BSR. Everything else Steve Austin related, you can find at BrokenSkullRanch.com. Hey folks, the 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Thanks for listening to The Steve Austin Show. Check out new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.